Can you automate politicians?
Well, yes, we can. This is a great question. I would argue, at least in my country, they already have automated politicians. And what they've done is they've made them servants of the money system. And that the politicians are largely placeholders for the powers of industry that can bring money and pressure to bear to organize the world in the way they wanted it. When I think back to the legendary politicians of hundreds of years ago, it feels to me, at least from my reading of history, that they could turn things a little bit faster because the pressures against them from giant corporations were less. So I feel, yeah, my congresswoman is pretty interchangeable. I didn't notice anything when my state legislature changed from one person to another. And I think that reinforces some of the cynicism that so many people have about the political system. Every once in a while, I think a politician stands up and acts like an artist. A politician stands up and acts like a genius, says the emperor isn't wearing new clothes, starts a party that has an impact on the other parties. But in general, I would like to believe, and I wouldn't like to believe, I do believe, I wish it wasn't true, that most of the politicians I see are compliant cogs in a system, voting the party line, maintaining it so that their job is still safe. And I wish it wasn't true, but I feel like it is. Yes, sir. Well, wait, where's the microphone? Oh, here he comes, right over here. Look, this is perfect.
Hi. If you have an idea, something like Twitter, it doesn't matter much. Should you aim for a big company or should you aim small? Because sometimes people tell you you should always have the big in your mind. But
right.
I read in your stories that it's better to
Sure. So here's the key. The question was, correct me if it's not, what kind of ideas should I shoot for? Should I shoot for big ideas that are going to change everything?
No, I mean, if you have an idea, should you think
If you
big,
have an idea, should you sell it to a big organization?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Real artists ship. And if you say, I could just ship if Mattel would buy my toy, I could just ship if Google would promote my plugin, I could just make a difference if some big organization understood how good this is, that's the resistance talking. That's the lizard brain saying, if I set up an impossible to achieve hurdle before I ship, I can spend my whole life whining about the fact that I didn't achieve it and it wasn't my fault. If Google had just linked to me, every day, 400 people, 200 people, 10, right? Three people email me saying, Seth, would you please link to X? Because they've decided that if I just link to them on my blog, then they'll make it. And what I'm arguing is, you are much better off getting in the habit of shipping when there is nothing in between you deciding to ship and you shipping it out the door. Don't pick an idea that Twitter needs to approve of. That's what I'm saying. Yes, you have a follow-up.
I mean something else.
Okay, we'll answer another question.
Personally, if you have an idea, should you aim high in your own mind, or should you just think of it as a small idea,
right.
Give it around, or should you have really
right.
The idea?
I thought you meant in the beginning. My point is still the same. Ideas are easy to steal. You should never protect your idea. You should never protect your art. You should give it away. Give it away often. You're going to have more than one work of art in your life. You're going to have more than one chance that you can be generous. More than one time you come up with something that will change things for the better. And if your idea gets out there and it gets stolen, good for you, because now the second time you get to tell everyone that first thing was yours. And maybe it'll get stolen again, but by the fifth time you have a great idea, right? I have a long list of things I invented other than the internet, and it works, right? The more you give away, the more you're going to get back.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here. I was wondering, so you're saying the thing about the artists, and I also believe that as well, but how can you say in a job interview where you have like 10 minutes to prove yourself and that you're good for the job, how can you really show that you're an actual artist?
Right, you shouldn't go on that job interview. This is a great question. I could give you the short answer, but I want to extend it just a little bit. You can't have both. You can't say, I want to be taken care of by a factory system that wants me to be compliant, and I also want to be this risk-taking artist who's going to change everything. That to get in the door, if you need a resume, which is nothing but a list of brand names proving how compliant you are, if they're hiring for that, They're going to expect that. Now, if you have a job where you're already trusted and you have leverage, please keep it and go make something of it. But if you're planning the arc of your career, it seems to me that the way a linchpin does that is by doing such amazing work for so many people in a generous way that your reputation precedes you. And when you do that, people call you and they say, not here's a classified, come apply for this job, the 400 people are, but you, we want you. What you did for them, we want you to come do it for us. And now it's about the artist being found by someone who has a way to leverage it, not the other way around. Yes, exactly. Yes, sir.
Hi, I was born fearless. For 30 years, I had no fear. But then my first daughter was born, and I know, then I was afraid for the future, for sure. Her future. How do I cope with that, with the fear of the future?
Yeah, no, I completely concur. It is a very common feeling, and thank you for your honesty in talking about that. The first half of my book argues that the more we are afraid for our future, the worse our future is going to be. And so the way I've done it, the way I've rationalized it, is that if you can overcome that fear in the short run so that you can make bigger change in the long run, it works out. It's not easy, and I can't tell any one person how to get over their fear. There's hundreds of ways to do it. Drinking gin is not the best one, right? This isn't the perfect outcome. The perfect outcome is that good people would be taken care of. The perfect outcome is that our future would be assured, and then on top of that, we could do things that are fun. We don't get the perfect outcome. This is what we got. And what I'm saying is you guys are first, that 20 years from now, the whole world is going to realize that this is what we've got. But you have this massive head start now. When I spent the time today with the primitives talking about how they're doing their cooking, I could have been in New York City. I was surprised that I was in a small town, smallish town in Belgium. And that's the power of this, is that the tools that you need to make world-class impact are available to you. And the cost of failing is less than it has ever been. In the old days, if you built a car factory and no one bought a car, you were toast for the rest of your life. Now, you can build a thing, whatever that thing is, and if it doesn't work, 3 days later, do something else. I can't tell you how to deal with the lizard brain. I just can tell you, you must. And I don't know if that's enough help, but that's all I got. Yes, sir.
Hi, that's, good evening. I got a question about discipline. I think to become the artist that you're talking about, you need quite a big discipline, and I've been reading your blog for quite some time now, and you probably master this discipline because you're bringing out blog posts mostly daily. Can you give tips to these people here about discipline?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you for reading the blog. You know, I haven't missed a post in several years, maybe more. And where my discipline came from is I was more afraid of failing to ship than I was afraid of shipping. So for 3 or 4 years, I was window shopping in restaurants and then going home and eating SpaghettiOs. There was less than a week's payroll in the bank for the people who worked for me. And the thought that I would have to give up my dream and go be a bank teller is what kept me shipping. It's what, you know, when you're self-employed and you can take a nap in the afternoon, once you take one nap, it's all downhill. So I haven't taken a nap in 20 years, right? Because it's the discipline of saying, I got to ship. And once you get in the habit of saying you have to ship, then you ship. I think everyone should have a blog, and everyone should write on it every day, even if no one reads it. Because the act of writing is what's important here. The act of writing is what moves things forward and puts you on the hook. Because you said something, and it's in print, and it's there. And if you do it every single day, then a year from now, you'll have done it 365 times. And that's a really powerful thing to be able to say. I think I got time for, yeah, a few more. Where? Who has the microphone? Yes, please.
Good evening. My question is in two parts. First, where do you put luck in all this? And how?
I'm sorry, cannolis?
No, luck in all this.
Luck, okay, yes.
And how do you communicate to people that feels a little bit less lucky or less energized?
That's a great question. First, about cannolis. There's a bakery in Boston where they don't fill the cannoli till you get there, and then when you get there, they fill it up. That's the place to go for. You don't want an old cannoli. But your question was actually about luck. You know, I don't keep a list, but I have failed on more than 180 projects. Businesses, businesses with employees, businesses without employees, big ideas, small ideas. I failed when I invented the first aquarium that was on a videotape. So you bought the tape for $20 and the fish swam back and forth. That was me, right? I failed when I started a business that sold light bulbs door to door to raise money for bands because they weigh less than selling fruit, right? And everyone needs light bulbs and no one really needs more fruit. There's this long list of failures. So people look at the company that I succeeded with and they say, I was pretty lucky. And I said, well, what about those other ones? Those were pretty unlucky, and it all sort of averages out. My take is, I don't believe that there's a register somewhere with a guy on a cloud and a lightning bolt keeping track of who's going to be lucky tomorrow. What I believe is, you roll dice enough times and you're going to get a 5. And rolling dice is way cheaper than it used to be. So just roll and get the bad luck over with. People say, where do I get good ideas? The answer is simple, because I have a lot of bad ideas. I have more bad ideas than anyone in this room. And if you get more bad ideas, the good ideas will take care of themselves. Yes? Hi.
Hi. Hi, Seth. Just wondering, you're talking about the change that's coming, and I think it's extremely interesting, but does government have a... Can government play a role in this, or should it just get out of the way and let people do what they need to be doing?
Yeah, I think government can play a huge role in this. And what government does when it's doing the thing it does best is it creates a platform. You know, if you've been to the developing world where there's not a lot of government, you realize you really want government. You want there to be a street. You want there not to be a likelihood you're going to be mugged. You want there not to be this perception you have to pay a bribe to make anything happen. That when government is working, and you see it working really cool, for example, in the technology business in California, the effort you need to go through to start an internet company in California is really small. And the government brings this big fat pipe of data, you know, to your house through the way they've regulated spectrum and stuff, and it's not horrible, right? Government should definitely get out of the way when they say, you know, if you have a dog, you must have a dog door that's exactly this number of centimeters and they shut you down. And I think that there's a pretty wide consensus that that's a bad thing for government to be doing. But in fact, when government does things to lead people, to bring people together who need to be brought together, that's when it works. When it doesn't work is when government starts making the market, when government starts buying the stuff. You know, the weapons industry in the United States, which has done a lot of damage to the whole world, is not known particularly for useful innovation because they only have one customer, and that customer is really afraid. So when you're selling things to a customer who's filled with fear, you're going to make boring stuff. The answer is not to become a bigger customer, I think. The answer is to build a platform that's more efficient. Yes, I have trouble seeing the microphones from here. So, oh, that worked. Who else had a question? I only have time for a couple more. This young lady in the red hair, and we'll do one down here first. So they'll get you a microphone while we're doing this one. Yes, sir.
My question is the following. I came all the way from Munich, Germany.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of your work, I read your blog and everything. My question is the following. I came here maybe because I was raised following instructions and I maybe hope to get a map here or something. I know.
How much did you pay? I'll give you a refund.
Don't worry about that. No, my question is the following. Again, why are you trying to give people a map when there is no map?
Right, I'm not saying there's a map, I'm just saying you better get to Munich as fast as you can. I don't know how to get to Munich, just go. Right? That we know what it looks like to be Shepard Fairey. We know what it looks like to be Jacqueline Novogratz. We know what it looks like to be, Angela Merkel. We know that these people set out to do something and got there. We also know what it looks like to show up tomorrow and do what you're told. And what I'm saying is that showing up tomorrow and do what you're told thing is exposed as a lie now. You will never look at your job the same way when you just show up and wait for the memo from your boss and getting your TPM reports in on time. That's not what you need to be focusing on. And you need to not sleep well at night until you figure out where it is you want to go and start going there. I have no idea how to get there. I don't, because everyone I study gets there a different way. If I knew how to get there, I promise I would tell you. All I know is ignore the tactics. Ignore anyone who says, do these 8 steps on Twitter and you will be successful. And instead, start figuring out what matters to you and go do it. That's my vote. The woman in the red hair, and then we're going to maybe sign some books or something. Where's the woman in the red hair?
Here
she is. Hi.
just a personal question. If you
you didn't ask about my socks.
Okay. No, no, I won't. I won't. Honestly. Oh, nice.
Are they on the camera? There we go.
Yeah.
Watch this. Every day for 5 years, my socks have not matched. They're the same thickness, though. Good for you. Are yours the same thickness? Little Mismatch is a company in Mamaroneck, New York, that started at zero 5 years ago when I wrote about them in Purple Cow. And Little Mismatch said, lots of people make socks, can't make any money making socks. But 12-year-old girls, they have a problem. Their problem is they don't have enough to talk about during recess. So if we made a sock that solved their sock problem, they would talk about us. So you get three socks for €7, and none of them match. 133 styles. So what happens is the 12-year-old girl goes to school and says to the other 12-year-old girls, want to see my socks? And want to see my socks is their entire strategy, right? That's it. Last year they did $40 million in revenue. Okay, now you can ask your personal question.
Yes, my question is, if you could reorganize schools, reinvent school,
right,
how would it look like?
Okay, so here's what, if you got kids, I don't know how to fix public school, but I know what parents have to do. Parents have to do homeschool their kids from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. every day. And during those 6 hours, you've got to teach your kids to do two things. One, solve interesting problems, like the bird, right? Sit down at dinner and say, what should Greece do about the monetary crisis they're in? Ask your seven-year-old that. I'm serious, right? Because there is no easy answer. If there was an easy answer, they would have done it already. I know seven-year-olds who can answer that question. They can't answer it beautifully, but they can make some progress. And number two, teach them to lead. Because those are the two things we have a shortage of. Leaders and people who can solve interesting problems. And if you can teach your kids to do those things while being laughed at when they fail, you've done a great job of preparing them for the future. I don't know how to tell a public school teacher to teach those two things, but I know it's important, and I spend a lot of time trying to teach every kid I meet those things. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so should I answer his question or should we sign books? I'll answer your question.
I was just wondering if by being an artist you're going to be met with a lot of criticism, how do you protect yourself from this criticism?
Okay, so that's a great question. And that's one reason why Twitter is a real problem for me, because anonymous people can criticize me all day long. Have at it, because I don't read it. Go have a blast. If, when I was reading it, I once gave a speech to 12,000 people. 80 people tweeted after the speech, one person hated it, ruined my whole day. Now that's ridiculous. 11,999 people liked what I had to say, gave me a standing ovation, it was a great day. One person, anonymous, tweeted that they hated it, ruined my day. So I need to insulate myself from 140 character feedback, because it doesn't help me. But if someone sends me a thoughtful email that shows they've been thinking what I've been thinking and that they don't like part of it and they have a reason, I will read it and learn from it. Because for me at least, that makes me better doing what I do. But there are other people, Picasso included, who never read a word of it and said, look, there's a voice in my head who's telling me what to paint. Shut up. And they make art and they ship it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The most important thing is figure out what level you can deal with productively that helps you and ignore the rest of it. So on that note, I gotta go. They're gonna take me somewhere. I hope to see you at the end. Thank you again for coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Godin. Two service announcements. First of all, Seth mentioned it already a couple of times. He will be at the Azure Bookshop in the entrance hall to sign some books until 9:30 sharp. Then he has to leave. So, and second service announcement, it's about Flanders DC. Put the 21st of October in your agenda. We will give you a female view on innovation on that date. And it's only for 98% sure that she is actually coming, so I won't mention her name, but put the words director Oscar first ever in the right order and you know who I will be talking about. So see you on the 21st of October, I hope.
Sorry, have you recorded the whole?
Yes.